Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Bishop Thomas Henry, and today, again, you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. Today, I'm going to deal with, on this particular program, a new book that I am in the process of writing entitled The Apostles, God's Ambassadors. The Apostle, God's Ambassadors. And I want to deal with that today. And hopefully today I will be able to shed some light on a few more things as we deal with the apostleship, because, again, there is a whole lot of misunderstanding as it relates to this particular ministry and this particular office in the church. And I think we tend to misconstrue what the Word of God actually clearly. With that being said, let's start with this premise on today. We see in Scripture the ministry of the apostle being worked out in front of our eyes. As we look at Scripture, as we look at the pages of Scripture, we see the ministry of the apostle worked out in front of our eyes in the person of Peter, and also in the person of Paul. We also see it a little bit in the life of James, the Lord's brother, who is an apostle and also the bishop of Jerusalem. He's also the president of the Jerusalem Council, as we see in Acts chapter 15. We also see other apostles like Junia and Andronicus, Aquila and Priscilla, Apollos, Timothy, Titus, Silas, Barnabas, and many others in Scripture are doing their particular work. We also see in Scripture the office of pastor, a.k.a. bishop, being worked out in Scripture, Acts 20:28. We see it in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Book of Titus and the Book of Philemon. We see it spoken of in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 28. But of particular importance, as I was studying for this particular book, I found some stuff to be very interesting about apostles, because there is this thing out that purport to say that apostles were akin to the generals, to Roman generals, and I had the little thing on my computer just then, but I wanted to bring some light and that I thought was just some good information. And I was like, wow, I've heard people say this who are apostles, but when I looked it up, I was blown away, because what some people have purported to be true, there's no earthly proof of it. No proof it whatsoever. With that being said, stop trying to be deep here. They said that the apostle was a Roman general who goes out and conquer land and all that. Well, we know the Romans did do stuff like that. But did you actually know that the word apostle, as we use it, as it's used in Scripture, never appears in classical Latin? Wow. Okay, I said it again. I think for those of you that missed that, the apostle, as it is used in Scripture, never appears in classical Latin. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostolos, which means literally one who is sent, one who is on a mission, a missionary, an emissary, an ambassador. Then we also have another word in Scripture called apostileo, and that apostatelo, I think it's leo, you know what I'm saying, which actually is a verb, which is sending or envoy and all that. So we have two different words used in Scripture. in the Greek Old Testament, when the Old Testament was translated from Greek and Aramaic into the Hebrew and Aramaic into the Greek Septuagint version, the word apostle is used only one time. But the word apostello, is used more than one time, sending. It's interesting, though, because I just want to look at the origin, first of all, as we deal with this today, the origin of the apostle. Because, as I researched, I came across this story that the apostle was a Roman general and all of this other stuff. And I looked it up. I said, I want to know if these brethren are saying something that can be validated. Watch my favorite thing here now. Can be validated by history. I wanted to know, could it be validated by history? Well, like I said, we got so many people who are proposing definitions for this word. And literally, some of the stuff they are proposing and as truth cannot be found anywhere else. Now, there is a Greek word, a Hebrew word, excuse me, that means the same as apostle, but that's not what we're even referring to. We're dealing with this notion that the apostle was a Roman general, and that notion is a lie. I said again, that notion is a lie. I know that's kind of hard. I know that's kind of straightforward. I know a lot of people may not like that, but it's the truth. You can't change the truth, the history. Truth is all right by itself. You can't change it. But it's not a Roman general. I didn't say that the apostle wasn't a general. I just said the apostle wasn't a Roman general. So let's look at this. So we come across a story where the Romans had an official known as apostles in their army. And as I researched this story, all I found was people who were Pentecostal in origin, and nothing wrong with that. I'm Pentecostal myself. Love it. Wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. Apostolic and kingdom-minded person. Wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. But I cannot find the origin of this story. And the reason why I cannot find it, because as I research the word, the reason why no one can find the origin of this story, and it's only being proposed by Pentecostal folks who believe in the apostolic. I believe in it, but I'm not the one giving the story out. But I deem the story to be false and a lie, a made-up story, simply because the word apostle was used, the word apostle as used in the Greek was brought into the Roman culture after the Romans had conquered the Greek Empire. But watch this. It still did not come into everyday classical, in everyday Latin, the Latin language of the Roman Empire until, watch this, the genesis of the Christian church. Whew. Because there was men in the Christian church who used the Greek word apostolos, and they were calling themselves apostolos because that's what Christ called them. And Christ sent them out as apostles, missionaries, ambassadors, envoys, messengers commissioned to carry out special instruction from their commissioning agent, which is Jesus Christ. So the Romans never had a general called apostle. Never. Never. It was a Greek word. Another thing I found out, and see, I promise you, this gets better. It only gets better. It does not get worse. I promise you, it gets better. So you just hold yourself for the ride. We got a few more things we got to hit here. And I believe that you will be blessed thoroughly by this. This is still from the book I'm writing. The etymology of the pre-Christian usage of this word, apostle, is rare. Because the word apostle in its Greek usage simply means messenger. Messenger. It, even though it has these other meanings, but in the few times that it is used in society, it's only used as messenger. The verb apostello, P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O, however, is more common in usage and refers to sending of a fleet or an embassy. The Greek historian Herodotus, around circa 484 to 425 BC, is the earliest reference to the word apostolos being used as an envoy or a messenger. Interesting. Interesting. I hope I don't get too deep on you guys. Hope you'll follow me for the ride here. The Septuagint, as I said before, uses the word apostatello and ex-apostatello some 700 times to translate the Greek word salah, S-A-L-A-H, which means to stretch out or sin. More than the act of sinning, this word includes the idea of the authorization of a messenger. The word apostolos is only found in the Greek Old Testament one time, and that is in 1 Kings 14 and 6. Thus, the Septuagint uses the word apostatello to denote the authorization of an individual to fulfill a particular function with the emphasis on the one who sins, not on the one who is sent. Good God from Zion. That will preach all by itself. Because you remember, in the book of Isaiah, God said, who shall we send? Who shall I send? Who shall go for us? And Isaiah said, send me, I'll go. God is the one who's doing the sending. So the emphasis is on the sending and not on the one who is sent. The word apostolos, therefore, is found some 79 times in the New Testament, 10 times in the Gospel. For instance, in John chapter 13, it says, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is the apostolos, neither is he greater than he that sent him. And that word apostolos is used in that verse. Literally, neither he that is sent greater than he that is sent him. So literally, it listed the apostle is not greater than the one that's doing the apostatello. Are you hearing me? One more thing now. I'm just throwing some stuff at you. I believe in the apostleship. Don't get me wrong. I believe in the apostleship. I'm just trying to make some things plain to you. 10 times is the word apostolos used in the gospel. It's not translated all the time as apostle when it's used. 28 times. Is used in the book of Acts, and is not all the time translated as the word apostle every time it's used. In the book, in the epistles of Paul, as well as in 1 John, 2 John, and the book of Hebrews, Jude, and all that, is used 38 times total in the epistles. And again, not all times is it translated as the word apostle. It's used 3 times in the book of Revelation. The word apostolos, which is translated either apostle or messenger. Apostle or messenger. Watch this. I want to go on some more. I know I'm being a little technical, but I got some stuff to you. Once I throw this out to you, I hope it'll be a blessing. It occurs mostly in the writings of Paul and Luke. Luke write the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Paul write at least 12 or 13 of the books of the New Testament, and refers to those who are appointed by Christ for a special function in the church. And not just, let me precursor this, that when I say appointed by Christ, it does not mean that the church did not appoint as well. Because some people want to get said, see, I told you, apostles are only appointed by Jesus, not by man. But see, they didn't realize. If you read the book of Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit spoke to the bishops of that church, because the word teacher is the word prophet and teacher, prophetes, kai, the daskalos, prophets and teachers. And these were the elders of the church. These elders were the bishop. They are teaching elders, so they are bishops of the church. And they also called prophets. And these bishops in the church in Acts was told by the Holy Spirit to set two of the prophets of their number aside to be made apostles. So now we see these prophet bishops in the church at Antioch being told to make two of their numbers apostles. Interesting. Muy interesante. Very interesting. Because you know how you have some people say, well, you're getting demoted when you go from apostle to a bishop. Then you have some people say you're being demoted if you go from apostle to from a bishop to an apostle. There is no demotion in ministry when you talk about going from one position to another. No. What happened was, in the book of Acts chapter 13, we have five guys who are prophet teachers, prophet bishops in the church at Antioch. These five elder bishop prophet guys are praying and worshiping, and the Holy Spirit says, there are two among you that I want to send out from this church as apostles. And so the bishops of that church ordained these two men as apostles and released them to go outside of their church to do their work. Did y'all catch that? These five bishops are prophets. These prophet bishops in the church at Antioch. They're prophet teachers. If you come to the Congress this year, I will explain this in more detail so it will make sense to you, that all the dots will connect and you will be like, aha, yes. I knew some of these folks were teaching this stuff wrong. So let's go on again a little bit more here. So in the New Testament, we have bishops, prophet bishops, making two of their numbers apostles. These apostles are sent out from this church, not to work anymore at Antioch, but to work outside of that church and to do the work that they are called to do. Because you have to remember, it is believed that Antioch would have been one of Peter's church as an apostle, one of his church that he founded. Don't necessarily believe that he was a bishop of it, but he founded the church. And so, interesting, I've always told you, if you listen to every one of these blog talks, I've always told you that the apostles are outside of the church, local church. They are general regional church ministries. They may come into the local church, but their ministry extends beyond the local church to the general and regional church. Bishops are ordained for the diocese, for the local church. Now, there are some bishops outside of the local church who we call Archbishop Metropolitans and we call presiding bishops. These bishops work in the role of an apostle to the general churches that they are called to. I can explain that too. Lord, have mercy. But let's go on a little bit farther, because I just want to throw some stuff at you and get you to thinking, get your thinking wheels to turning. So the word apostle is mostly used in the New Testament by Paul and by Luke. By Paul and by Luke, we see both of them detailing Jesus personally calling people. We see the Holy Spirit calling some as to be apostles. We see others who are called apostles, but we never see how they are called into that ministry. All this is interesting, brothers and sisters. Keep all of this in mind. All of this. Because many of them were personal witnesses of Christ, while the rest of them surely could not have been because of their age difference. Some of them would not have been old enough at the time of this writing to even have seen Christ or dealt with Christ on a level they could have remembered his teachings. Okay, let's keep going on. The word apostle, as some of you have been following my broadcast here on Blog Talk, the word apostle is in the book of Hebrews applied to Jesus. it is applied to Jesus. Are you hearing me? It is applied to Jesus. Jesus is the apostle. But people said Jesus can't be apostle because he couldn't send himself. The Father sent him. That's what the scripture said. Read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. The Father sent him. He repeatedly said, the Father has sent me. Jesus is an apostle sent from the Father. He is the Messiah, the HaMashiach, the anointed one of God. Sent, because without him there is no Christianity. He's sent by God to preach to Israel. He's sent by God to birth churches through his apostles. He is sent by God. Then the apostles is present is then the word apostle is applied to those who are sent to preach to Israel. Peter, James, and John, and a few of them other ones that was ascended specifically, excuse me, to Israel and to the diaspora of the Jews. Then there are other apostles like Paul and Thomas and Mark and Andrew and a few others who are sent to the Gentiles, those who were not Jews. Then we have other people who are called apostles who we don't see sent specifically to churches, but they are sent to train other leaders like Aquila and Priscilla. Are you following me here today? We know in Scripture there had to be more than 12 because how the word apostles is referred to in Scripture. We know it more than just the 12 plus Paul, which would make 13. We know that there are more. These men were just called apostles because they had it. And some would say the spirit of the apostle. They were called apostles because they were apostles. The scripture does not say in Acts 14 and 4, well, in Acts chapter 13, Acts chapter 14, it does not say Barnabas had the spirit of the apostle. It literally in the Greek refers to Barnabas and Paul, both as apostles. It says apostles, then it lists Barnabas first, Chi, Apollos. Chi, it didn't say de Apollos, de Paulo, it said Chi. If it had said de, then we could easily disconnect Barnabas from Paul and make them one be the spirit of the apostle while one being the apostle. But the Greek said Barnabas, Chi, Paulos, literally saying whatever it said before is in reference to both, not either or, not one or the other, but both. Are you following me? So we know that there's more than just 12. We know that there's more than just 12 apostles. Now, I said something a few minutes ago, I know messes with some folks' theology because people say, you can't make somebody something you are not. How can bishops make apostles? Well, I just told you, Acts chapter 13, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. These prophet teachers, these bishops in the church at Antioch made Paul and Barnabas apostles through the leading of the Holy Ghost. Now, you got to understand, there is one English word, ordained, but there's about 11 words in the Greek for the word ordained. There's about seven or more words in the Old Testament for the word ordained. So you have to understand, when he tells them, he told them to set these people, the word set there, establish, ordain, establish and set and ordain these men to be apostles. Three prophet teacher bishops in Antioch laid hands on two of that number. And the unique thing, one of these guys was black, because the word N-I-G-E-R is spelled, it is pronounced literally like the N-word. It is literally pronounced like the N-word in the Greek. Some people said Niger, but it's not Niger. It's pronounced the other way. It literally means black. He's called that because his skin is black. And he was a black man
laid hands on Paul and on Barnabas and made them apostles. Good God from Zion. Almost want to dance and shout right at the end. A few other things I just want to hit real quick, do some hit and run, and we will be off of this program for today. Luke takes the time in his writing, the book of Acts, to affirm that Paul is actually a real apostle. And it must be mentioned that even though Barnabas liked miracles being attributed to him, that does not mean Barnabas did not work any miracles, and it does not mean that he is any less of an apostle than Paul, since there's no miracles mentioned that he did in Scripture. See, people are trying to make an argument from silence to demote the apostleship from being an office to just being solely a gift. But one of these days, I'm going to find that Scripture. It's a Scripture in the New Testament. I believe it's in the book of Corinthians. That lets us know that these gifts are special empowerments, offices to do the work. What work are you doing? If you got the gift of the apostle, then what kind of work are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be doing the work of the apostle. That's the office that you're supposed to work in. If you have the gift of a pastor teacher, what kind of ministry are you supposed to work in? The bishop, because that's what the bishop does. He's the pastor teacher. If you have the gift of the evangelist, what kind of work are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to work in the office of the evangelist. If you have the gift of prophecy, then what kind of work are you supposed to be doing? You are supposed to be doing the work of a prophet. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now, I can prove this. I can prove this because this is what the people understood in Saul's day. In Old Testament, King Saul. This is what they understood. They understood that only prophets prophesied. How do you believe that? How do you know that, preacher? Then look with me in the book that Saul is mentioned in. Saul is mentioned in the book, I believe, of Samuel. And Saul, when he goes among the prophets, Saul started prophesying. And the people didn't say Saul had the gift of prophecy. Their understanding was that if you prophesied, you were a prophet. They say, is not Saul one of the prophets? Is Saul a prophet? They didn't say if he had the gift of prophecy. They said if he's prophesying, he must be a prophet. Can I posit something in your spirit real quick before I go on? Everybody that claimed to be a prophet is not a prophet. There are word gifts, like the Bible says of the diversity of tongues. I believe this deals with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the application thereof, that people and the gifts of tongues with interpretation. This deals with what the Bible calls the diversity of tongues, that people can have a revelation gift and not be a prophet, because a prophet does more than just have word of knowledge and word of wisdom. He sees into the future. He speaks of the oracles of God. And there are a lot of people that claim they're prophets, but I promise you, they be no prophet. Let me go on. I don't have a 60 second in this broadcast left. And we talked about, we really don't have time. We need to cover everything else I have here. But I promise you that this is good. And when I get through with this book, you need to get this book, because this is going to be a great book. It's going to be an insightful book. And hopefully we will bring clarity in the midst of the confusion that everybody else is teaching on the ministry of the apostle. If I can say one thing in closing, remember what I've always said as I dealt with the bishopric on the broadcast. The apostle is called to the general church and to the regional church, while the bishop is called to the local church. You have to also understand that when the Bible speaks local church, it's not speaking church like we think it, like we deal with it. The church on the corner, the church in the Bible, on the local church, is a whole city with multiple congregations. My name is Bishop Thomas Henry, and for the past 30 minutes, You have been listening to The Apostolic Voice. God bless you.